This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Lim Soo Ann and Dashun Johan. So as always, we have two stories for you today. First up, we've heard countless times that we should stop touching our faces, especially our eyes, mouths and nose. So we'll be zooming in on the eyes today and exploring why it's important to keep our hands away and the possibility of COVID-19 transmission through the eyes.
And for our second story, over the weekend there was a social media campaign called #MigrantJugaManusia to highlight and protest the prejudice and harsh treatment faced by migrant workers and refugees here in Malaysia. And this was particularly during the COVID-19 pandemic and the movement control order. So that campaign saw thousands of tweets and posts being made in support of it. So we'll be discussing the campaign and its importance.
Yes, and if you'd like to join the conversation on either one of those topics, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And now on to our first story. Wash your hands, practice physical distancing, and don't touch your face. These are among the things that we've heard most often as a result of COVID-19. So the first two are easy enough to practice, but how many of us have tried to not touch our faces as much and failed miserably? Health experts warn that if we constantly touch our face, especially our eyes, our noses, and our mouths, that could increase the risk of spreading the coronavirus, as these are key routes for transmission. But as a result of that, there's also been various articles detailing the rather hilarious experiences of people who try to do just that, to not touch their faces, but find it even more difficult when you're actively trying to avoid doing it.
So today we want to focus on the eyes, as these sensory organs have gotten some attention on whether the SARS-CoV-2 virus could actually spread through the eyes. What we know is that the coronavirus generally spreads via droplets, such as when an infected person coughs or sneezes. But we are continuously learning more about the virus, and scientists are still exploring if there are other transmission routes for the virus, including our eyes.
So the thing is about our eyes, I mean, most of us rub it without realizing, you know, when you're feeling just that bit tired, if something suddenly got a bit of dust got into your eyes. Some of us maybe have a tendency to roll out on our eyelashes if you're stressed. And for those of us who wear glasses or who wear contact lenses, I mean, it's quite common to purposefully touch your eyes, you know, especially if you wear lenses to put in and take out. I mean, so I've noticed, like, when I've taken more notice on when I do touch my eyes, including other parts of my face, and I've noticed that I do it quite often, but then sometimes it almost feels inevitable.
So I wear contact lenses. Mm. So I'm very careful about not touching my eyes when my lenses are in. Mm. But it's almost the opposite when they're out. It's like when I go home and it's night, I realize when I'm reading or if I'm watching TV, I have a very bad habit of rubbing my eyes, probably because they are dry from wearing lenses all day. So I'm quite bad at avoiding it.
Yeah, me too. Because I have this tendency to rub my eyes. I don't wear contact lenses or anything. But, you know, maybe my eyes gets dry or when I'm watching something, I kind of like the feeling of me rubbing my eyes. So
it's just one of those bad habits, yeah. I think we pick up along the way.
Yeah.
And because we've been practicing it we've been doing it for so many years, right? Things you've picked up from you were young. It's quite difficult to suddenly stop touching your eyes and parts of your face. So it's not as easy as you think, despite knowing that you might actually, you know, accidentally touch a surface that is probably not as hygienic, as sanitized as it should be, and then you could then touch your eyes whether it's intentional or not.
Yeah.
And going back to the research that's being done, back in March, a study was published in the Journal of Ophthalmology, which offered some evidence that it's unlikely for COVID patients to shed the virus through their tears, right? However, this was a small study that was carried out with only 17 patients, so the sample size not too big there, from the National University Hospital in Singapore.
There have also been several other reports and studies since then, which describe various eye-related symptoms in COVID patients. For example, a study published in the JAMA Ophthalmology carried out in China reported that some patients exhibited those eye-related symptoms, as was also reported in another study in ACTA Ophthalmologica. And there was also a reported case of Italy's first confirmed COVID-19 patient whose eye swabs found that the virus lingered in her eyes up until the 27th day of her hospitalization.
Mm. I mean, but like you said, Ashwin, there are caveats to these studies, right? Especially when it comes to the small size of the patient. It's still quite early. I mean, it's only been 4 months since the pandemic really started last year in December. 5 months now, actually, I guess.
Yep.
We're in our fifth month. And the case reports that have emerged have been few and isolated. So to help us understand what we should take away from these studies and cases, I caught up with consultant ophthalmologist and vitreoretinal surgeon, Dr. Kenneth Fong. He is also the president of the Malaysian Society of Ophthalmology. And first, I asked Dr. Kenneth to explain how one could contract a virus if you accidentally touch your eyes after touching a contaminated surface.
The virus can enter our body, as you said, through our eyes, nose and mouth. And the eyes are actually connected to the nose via the nasal lacrimal passage. So there is a tiny passage that connects, that allows tears to drain from the eyes into our nose and throat. So that's a theoretical way of how the virus particle can spread. So you can see that's why all the health workers are wearing full face visors to prevent any aerosols from spreading into their face or their eyes.
Mm. And so recently I saw there was a study published in JAMA Ophthalmology that found that the SARS-CoV-2 virus could actually be transmitted through the eyes. So could you help to break down what that study actually said and why is that significant?
Yeah, they looked at about 38 patients in China who had the COVID-19 virus, and they found that about 20% of the patients had a red eye. I mean, they had some redness in their eye or swelling. So it was thought that there was some infection that had spread to the eye. And then further studies done in America where they took samples of tears from the eye itself from COVID-19 patients actually reassuringly didn't find any evidence of virus particles in the tears. So the risk of the virus spreading through the tears is actually very low. So we only worried that if you rub your face, you rub your eyes, you may actually rub your nose and mouth, and that's how the virus particles may spread.
Mm. Are there any other symptoms relating to the eyes that could be a result of COVID-19?
No, mainly it's redness, watering of the eyes, and swelling. So basically, any patient that has a conjunctivitis, which is a type of red eye, we have to be careful. Basically, even in normal times before COVID-19 was around, we were very careful with such patients because they can be caused by any sorts of viruses, which is very contagious. So that's why we take a lot of precautions when examining these patients.
Mm.
But in terms of loss of vision, we've not had any reported cases of loss of vision from COVID-19.
Mm. So then, for doctors who see patients with red eye or conjunctivitis, what are there any precautions that should be taken or anything that sort of they should keep their eye out for?
Yeah, what we are doing now is that we are recommending that all conjunctivitis patients be examined in a separate room, sort of isolation examination room.
Mm-hmm.
We wear gloves, we wear our masks, we also wear goggles. Because we don't know, the patients may not have a fever, they may have anything, but because when we examine the patient, we have to use a machine called a slit lamp, which is like a microscope where we have to be very close to the patient to examine their eyes. So we want to avoid the patient coughing. So we are worried that if they have a cough or cold, they might spread it to us. That's why the patient wears a mask, the doctor wears a mask. In terms of the conjunctivitis itself, we want to isolate the patient so they don't spread the virus to other patients in the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we recommend even GPs who see patients with red eyes with suspected contaminants, they should take extra precautions as well.
Mm, okay, so it's not just the doctor who should be wearing the mask, but also the patient as well.
The patients, all patients that come to our clinic, we make them wear a mask because, as you know, about 20% of cases of COVID-19 are asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you wear a mask, you actually stop the risk of spreading it to others. So, and if I wear a mask and the patient wears a mask, that really reduces the risk significantly to everybody.
Mm. And I guess in light of this, right, the fact that we shouldn't be touching our face or our eyes that much, are there any precautions that sort of the general public should take, especially, I guess, with a lot of people wearing contact lenses as well? Are there any specific precautions that should be taken?
Well, during the MCO period, the Malaysian Society of Ophthalmology did recommend to be extra careful with contact lens wear because, firstly, when you take on put in or take off your contact lens, you are touching your face. You can't help it, you see. And so you must wash your hands before you touch your face. And the contact lens should be thoroughly clean and disinfected. And actually, single-use daily disposable contact lenses are probably the safest because you don't have to keep it in a container with any disinfecting solution.
Mm.
And there are some patients who need to wear contact lenses because their power is very high, and they without contact lenses, they cannot see. So we can't stop them from wearing it. And finally, if patients get rare complications like infection in their eyes, they may need to go to the hospital or eye clinic to seek medical attention. And because of the MCO, there may be some delays for them getting this urgent care that they need.
Mm. So then, are there particular surgeries or treatments that have been delayed because of the MCO? And sort of how has that impacted patients?
Yeah, for ophthalmology, which is eye surgery, the biggest delay has been in our cataract surgery. As you know, cataract is our most common operation we do. It's actually the most common operation done in the world. And worldwide, all over the world, cataract surgery has been postponed because it's not considered as an urgent procedure. Some patients need urgent cataract surgery because they cannot see or they may have glaucoma. But the majority of public and private hospitals in Malaysia have postponed their cataract operations. And I think now that MCO is slowly being relaxed, we'll see that starting up again.
Mm. Are there concerns then that sort of this could lead to worsening vision loss among the public?
Yes, if this continues to delay, then we'll have more and more patients missing their appointments. So some diseases like glaucoma, retinal detachment, macular degeneration, these are blinding diseases that cannot be delayed. And we are concerned that these patients are actually not coming for their follow-up in the clinic and they're missing their treatment. Some patients need injection every month, and if they're missing their injections, they may then lose their vision.
So you just heard that from Dr. Kenneth Fung, consultant ophthalmologist and vitreoretinal surgeon, explaining the risk that the risk of the virus spreading through the eyes is low, that there's still insufficient evidence to indicate that there are symptoms affecting the eye among COVID-19 patients, but, you know, precautions are still being taken.
Yeah, so while it's still too early to tell and further research is still needed, it simply reminds us about the need to continue to keep up with the behavioral changes that we have had to make, especially maintaining good hand hygiene. Like Dr. Kenneth said, precautions should be and are taken when ophthalmology see patients. So don't delay seeing a doctor if you're having any discomfort with your eyes.
So that is all we have for that story. But you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 if you have anything that you'd like to share with us. So we do need to take a quick break, but in line with our eye theme today, we are going to leave you first with Dr. My Eyes by Jackson Brown, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.